Welcome to On the Bench. I'm your host for this episode, Brennan Sinone. I'm joined by Chris Nee, Kobe Crawford. I do want to say Zach Blaustein. We'll get there. Kobe, you're doing great though. Don't let me impact you. Right on, dude. All right, guys. Sorry, it's been a chaotic morning, been a chaotic weekend, but we are here to go over the state of Florida State recruiting, Florida State athletics. Only good news coming up, I promise. This is going to be sunshine and lollipops. It's all good stuff here. Before we get going, Chattanooga Whiskey, you might want to buy a bottle or two. They're crushing it in the craft distillery game. Seriously, they do an awesome job with their experimental line. Their 111 proof, to me, is like a gold standard for a craft whiskey at a value. It's like $40, sub $40 for a bottle. It got some exquisite flavor notes and depth to it, and like the amount of layers you get with that price point, pretty damn good. Proud of them to have them as a sponsor, and they do great work. So check out Chattanooga Whiskey. After you knock back a shot or two, maybe three or four, just depending on where you're at right now, buy your home safely and appropriately. But I would say, guys, if you do decide to buy a home, who should it be through?
The Turner Group.
Colby, come on. Come on. We got to get reps in.
The Turner Group.
There we go. He's got it. Yeah. Colin, Amy Turner, awesome people. They get deals done if that's what you're trying to do, but they're low pressure as well. They're going to guide you to the right place. Go at your speed. I think we've had three homes sold. Or bought through them so far. That's a huge decision. We thank everyone for partaking in that and trying to, giving them a try. If you're in Central Florida, throughout the state of Florida, the Turner Group is where you want to go to get where you want to go. All right, busy weekend for recruiting. We'll get into the Issa Torres of it all as well by the end of this podcast. Let's start off with the good news, guys, because I actually am a big fan of a commitment that Florida State got, and it was a bit of a surprise commitment. FSU flips from South Carolina. Take that, SEC. He's listed as a safety, but I think he's going to be a linebacker. Actually, I'm confident he's going to be a linebacker for Florida State. Jannard Albright, who apparently I thought moved out of South Georgia. Chris, you uncovered. That's
so,
not true.
In late December, actually around the same time he committed to South Carolina originally, which was Christmas Day, he had put out that he was going to go to St. Francis Academy, really good school in Baltimore, Maryland, very competitive school. Yesterday, I asked him as he was departing FSU after he told us he committed if that was still the intention, still the plans for next season. He said no, he intends to still be at Effingham County, which is where he played last year and was used in a variety of ways. He plays offense, he plays defense, linebacker, safety, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, a little bit of everything, also some special teams. But yeah, the intention is not to go to St. Francis, which at one point was shared as something that he intended to do, but looks like he reversed course and he's going to remain at his other school.
So, Colby, I'll throw this to you. He's got an 89 grade by 24/7 Sports. You got to speak to him afterwards. What went into the flip? And, again, surprising news. Good news. This is a really solid player. Actually, I think he's over an 89 in my personal record book. I think he's a 90.
Yeah, like you said, currently listed as a safety on 24/7 Sports. I think they like him at backer, probably that will backer position. Was hosted by Chris Jones and Omar Graham. Sounds like they had a really good time on the visit and stood out. Now, this is one that we had scheduled and jotted down for next weekend, June 12th, that he was set to arrive. A little bit of a surprise visitor there, saw him arrive and then came out and broke the news that he was committed. I thought a pretty telling quote, South Carolina and Florida State, maybe at both at similar junctures in their football program, but he came out and said, Florida State, I believe, is most definitely 10 steps ahead of South Carolina, which was an interesting nugget. He was, I think, set to visit them the last weekend and now said the rest of his visits are off. There was definitely some feeling on the South Carolina side and talking to some people that this was one that was a little shaky coming down the stretch with him scheduling a Florida State visit while committed. I'm not so sure that it was going to be this abrupt. So definitely a surprise on different fronts, but I think a really nice pickup. And we'll get in some later news about some other linebacker targets that might be trending elsewhere or a little bit more to the negative. But I think this is a really nice get. The highest rated commit in the class as of now for 2027 for Florida State. So a good get by linebackers coach Ernie Sims. Sounds like, man, they really hit it off again this weekend. And, you always get the visit high, right? I don't want to be too touchy, but no one really has a bad visit, right? Unless,
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Well, let's not try places, but But typically, you know, to do all the right things. But he came out of the visit very high, built some good relationships with his player host and the player coach as well, and also spoke very glowingly of his meeting with Norvell. And, you know, in this day and age, it's not just a recruiting battle, but there's a aspect of rev share as well. And sounds like they made that work. And, yeah, I think a really nice addition to the class.
Some context and notes on Albright. He did visit FSU twice during the season last year, so the interest has been there for quite a while. He always maintained, even after his commitment to South Carolina on Christmas Day, that he still intended to take an official to FSU. FSU was the only other school that he had shared consistently as a place he would officially visit outside of making it to Columbia. He no longer obviously intends to visit South Carolina after flipping his commitment. Yeah, listed as a safety. He's coming to FSU as a linebacker, was recruited by Ernie Sims. They want him as a linebacker. I do find it interesting looking at Andrew Ivins, 247 Sports Director of Scouting, Scouting Report, very first line, physical safety that triggers and makes plays against both the run and the pass. And then a little bit further down, you see shines as a face-up tackler, oftentimes striking with authority in space or in the box. So linebacker qualities right there, pretty much laid out for you. Watching his film from last season, he stands out as a guy who does a little bit of everything there. Very good athlete. I think he finished around 50 tackles this past season, a couple interceptions, playing mostly safety defensively. But he also did stuff in every other facet of the game as well.
He's a good athlete. Like, you see that on film. I mean, just not the way he plays. He's like a sub. He's like a 4-5 athlete. So you get that speed at linebacker. There's a lot to like there. The film's fun. Measurables are pretty good. I'll say, guys, it was nice. It was a nice surprise. I feel like been covering a lot of negativity lately. And it was just nice to have a little beacon of light there. So
yeah.
Brightened our day.
You pointed out 89-90. He's an 89 officially on 24/7. I think composite wise, he's a 93. So there are certainly people in the scouting world that are higher opinion of him than company will work for.
I like him. I don't know if I like him 93, or he has to be probably even higher than that. But
I think
still,
he's top 100 on three. I'm not sure on that, but I think that's what I heard yesterday when he committed.
All right. Well, to each their own. He is, I think, a high quality prospect. I think this is a really good one. Someone who has, like, he'll probably keep going up.
He's the best player in FSU's class currently.
Yeah, I'm thinking off the top of my head. Yes.
I think technically Batts and Greg Batson's ranked ahead of him, but in my opinion, he is the best player they currently have committed.
I do like the upside far more right now with where they're going. Yeah. And I like Eric Volks too. The two defensive commitments they got in the last 2 weeks have been pretty good. It makes sense from a scheme fit. Like, that's good. They got some trajectory there. This is a big weekend coming up as well for defensive prospects. We'll get into that in a little bit, but we'll kind of see if this class can take shape or not before everyone's kind of off the board here. So that's the good news. All right, guys. We'll get into we'll have a little TBD news, but first the bad news. So Frederick Ford, linebacker, edge prospect, kind of a hybrid from Mississippi. He's a blue chip prospect. Had just visited Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and had Florida State kind of in the middle before he was taking his out of state visits. I think this was a prospect that Florida State liked a good deal. I think he liked Florida State a good deal as well. But Chris, a weird twist and turn here. He gets his official visit by Saturday morning. You're telling me that we're trying to get in touch with his camp and stuff like that because he's going home.
Friday morning.
Was it Friday morning?
Very start of the visit.
Yeah, well, it was even earlier.
Technically, they arrive into town usually Thursday evening, but Friday morning breakfast is sort of the kickoff of the weekend. So we're at that breakfast or outside that breakfast waiting for arrival.
Not breaking bread with them.
Right. And, everybody arrives except for Fred Ford. So, of course, it's is he in town yet? Just what you do when you're checking off a list of guys who are supposed to be rolling through the door. He's the one we don't see. So that leads to being told, learning, and investigating by speaking to people why he is not there. And ultimately, he got sent home. He and his travel party were getting sent home at that time. They were not going to show up to that breakfast that we were at. The visit for them essentially had concluded just as fast as it had begun. And, cut and dry version of it, couldn't come to an agreement, mutually parted ways. That ends the recruitment there for FSU. He was a jack target for them. But, they're moving in a different direction, as is Fred Ford and his family.
Okay, I don't know how much else I want to get into on it. I think the question that does need to be addressed is, because what people are going to ask is, well, why did the visit even happen then to begin
with? I'll step into that puddle. I mean, I believe there was a belief between the two parties entering the visit that they were going to be in a ballpark of talking figures and such. Once the visit got underway, I think it became abundantly clear that that was not going to be the case. So why bother wasting either party's time? It's a cut and dry time in recruiting. It's a financial compensation day and age of recruiting. Like, if you're not going to be in the ballpark, it's not worth investing 48 hours or 40 hours after the arrival into a recruitment that, you know, in the end, it's not going to work out for either party with regards to one another. So just move on, be done with it. So yes, it begs the question, why was he brought in? I think it was what was expected versus what quickly became reality was slightly different, and that's why the two parted ways.
Yeah, I wonder if the practice becomes moving forward, does that seem like something you have to do ahead of time? And I think sometimes
I think they've done that ahead of time.
Just for context, you're spending time and money like to get the person there, put them up in a hotel. Like, it's not insignificant, right? That if you're that far apart to where it's not going to be worth everyone's time. I think that's the part of it where my brain goes, I guess.
They've done a lot of that this cycle though. There's a reason me and Colby have reported a lot of canceled visits.
That's what I was about to say. Like, every time you see these cancellation posts that people love to run with, it's like, that's why. And typically they're higher rated prospects, right? No offense, when you're just looking at the landscape, they're visiting Notre Dame and Oregon and Alabama, and just in Florida State's current state, you kind of understand the situation where I know it's not recruiting of 20 years ago. It is a very transactional deal in this day and age. And, you know, I think they're working tooth and nail to try and get close to a number. This was one that was unfortunate probably for both ends, and something that you want to avoid. But I mean, it really does just come down to the transactional element.
Yeah, they're not batting 1,000, but I would argue they're batting pretty well in the sense of having a decent read of the room and understanding those financial conversations. I mean, what's happening is kids are taking official visits, and when they come out of it on a Sunday, if they're not immediately committing to that school that they're at, they're taking the figure they've heard from that school and discussing it with other schools that they're involved with to see, hey, are we in the same ballpark? Is it similar? What's the structure of a contract for you versus what they're offering us here? And that's leading to a lot of decisions on whether or not to continue to take visits, cancel visits, or to commit to an offer that you have in hand.
Yeah. And then it's the leverage game, right? Like, oh, well, so-and-so said this, and then you go back and offer them that, and then you'll see a school be like, well, we're full now. And it's kind of just a endless merry-go-round of an unfathomable concept like a decade ago.
Well, and even like the concept, like something that I'm struggling with is rationalizing. I'm like decompartmentalizing two things. Like, one is like the super business oriented side of it now, right? Like, that's part of it. It's always been, there's been money involved, but it's at the most corporatized and forward level that it's ever been at. And then there's the emotional, like, human element. Like, you're still recruiting someone, you're still trying to develop bonds and build those type of things. And I think like that, well, I you know,
matter anymore. None of that matters. It's a dollar figure game. It's purely a dollar figure game.
I hear you. Like, that is the bottom line I think you're getting to. But I did talk to like Frederick Ford's, they were disappointed with it. Like, that's more what I'm talking about. Like, there is an element of that. And that's fine. You can ultimately say it's business and everyone's looking out for their best interest. Totally fine. That's the end. This is ultimately a business and that's a transaction. What I'm saying is, like, that's something that just in my mind I'm trying to get used to, is that there is still a human element to this. Feelings get hurt, whatever. Yeah. Shocking that I would take the emotional side of things.
I just
taking the bottom line black and white side.
I'll put it this way. Jason Lewis is a guy who I think ends up at FSU. And if you asked me 5 years ago in Jason Lewis's recruitment, if he was going to FSU, I would say it was pretty much a 99.9% lock, because he does legitimately like FSU. He likes Terrence Knight and he likes to plan for him. There's so many elements of it. Ultimately, for Jason Lewis to end up at FSU, it's going to come down to whether or not contractually it makes sense for him to go to FSU with what they're offering financially, the way it's packaged, the way it's done, if that all works, and yes, the emotional side probably helps get you over the finish line, but a vast majority of that recruitment for a kid who really loves FSU is still going to be a financial decision of it all.
Yeah. I didn't see your delay. Go ahead, Colby.
No, you're good. I mean, I was just saying, like, he came out with, like, the most glowing remarks. I think Chris hit the nail on the head. Not to cut you off, but, like, that is kind of, you know, he's visited Florida State, I think, the most. They've been, I think Syracuse offered just a week before, a couple days before, but he's visited here the most. Obviously, locationally is the closest, had the most standout visit, but he's still going to go take that visit next weekend, right? And I don't know. I think it is just kind of a sign of the changing times. And it's like yin and yang here. You got Chris and Brendan. It's like the pragmatic versus the emotional. So I think you're getting both ends of it.
Well, and that there ultimately is, like, there is a gray area to this, to where, like, you can get someone for a lesser price if you have a good relationship with them. I do push back on being like, that's all. It's only bottom line dollars. Like, that matters a ton. It's not 100%. Not for everyone. For some, it will be. I play the CFB video game. I know there's going to be NIL involved. I know it's not going to be everything in that. It's hardwired to where there's going to be little nuggets of love in there too, Christopher. Open up your heart. Love matters too. That's the title of the podcast. All right. So the other producer Brett's joining us on the back end. Hello, producer Brett. Good morning. So the other news, I would say, points to bad news, is that, at the very least, you can phrase it however you want. It doesn't have to necessarily be bad news. But it was a pivot when we talked to Greg Batson, the linebacker commit, currently the highest ranked in FSU class, or was the highest ranked before you got Albright. They're both ranked 89. So, but a long-time commitment. He's been in since November. He's from Lee County High School. It's about 2 hours north of Tallahassee. Usman Chroma's from there. Jamie Robinson was there. It's one of the preeminent powers in the state of Georgia in general, not just South Georgia. It's a powerhouse program. And so he's been committed for a while. He had a really good sophomore season. His junior season tailed off some. So you're kind of wondering what kind of player you're going to get. What's his trajectory like? But it was a guy that Florida State's had in the class for a while. They brought him in for an official visit. And when I went into it assuming that there was a chance Florida State could shut things down here, because he has an official visit lined up to Mississippi State, I believe this upcoming weekend. When the official visit exits, Greg comes out, talks to us. He was asked by Chris, like, if he's basically shutting it down. He said, pretty close to it, right? And was unlikely to take the Mississippi State visit this weekend. About an hour afterwards, Greg said, hey, there's going to be reached out. He said, hey, there's going to be a change of plans. He's like, I'm going to keep my recruitment open for a little bit longer. And I asked, is the Mississippi State visit happening? It sounds like probably not this weekend, but it still might be in consideration for the weekend after. So whether that means he's leaving the class, whether that means he's just open for negotiation season, I don't have the most clarity on this right now. It's still evolving, but I do think FSU is obviously aware that, like, yeah, this is something that they could end up losing him. That's very much so a possibility. That's where that's at. It turned very quickly from potentially being shut down to potentially opening up within like an hour.
Yeah, you can't have official visits on your campus of a commitment and then have them continue to take official visits. I don't think that works in the current situation that we're in recruiting.
I think FSU's, I think they're okay based on what I gather too. Like, if they end up losing him, they like Greg, like, mature and good size. Like, there's a lot to like there. But also I think they're okay with getting Albright. Like, I think they feel okay at linebacker. They had a really good linebacker haul this past cycle. So I think they're okay with it. So we'll see, I guess, if it's a leverage play, like if it's whoever blinks first, or if Greg ends up leaving the class. We will see what ends up happening there.
With that in mind, Chris, you said you can't have committed guys OVing elsewhere. One outside of the Greg deal, Deion Cooper, really comes to mind. You did a great job leading into the visit about kind of the background on what he was thinking. You know, they're recruiting him on the defensive side of the ball as a corner. Maybe nickel, I think is what he was saying. But he has aspirations to potentially play wide receiver on the offensive side of the ball at the next level. Kind of what's your read there coming out of the visit?
He said the Tennessee official visit that's coming up is still on. Tennessee is interested in him as a wide receiver. I think the key there for Tennessee is, based on what Deion said, is basically if he walks in the door and he's a true priority for them at wide receiver who would have a healthy opportunity to play next year, or at least have an opportunity to compete to play for next year, I think it would be tough for him to say no to an in-state program that's offering him the opportunity to play that position. I jokingly heard a comment made to Deion of, you just want to make this tough for us or something, said in like a loving jest. Like it wasn't a rude comment. It was more like, you know, we understand that we still got a little work here to do to shut you down. But again, like if a kid is committed to you and he visits you officially and then he takes officials afterwards, if I was in the seat of coach, recruiter, front office dealing with that, it would be tough for me to believe that, hey, we're going to win out in the end and that we should do that, especially if those visits are in a last 2 week situation, because obviously you're trying to assemble a good bit of your high school recruiting class in this time period. I just find it tough. What do I think Cooper ultimately does? I think it's up in the air for him, basically. And I know that's not the best answer, but legitimately from talking to him yesterday and just having a read of that situation entering the weekend, I think there's a legitimate interest from him of sticking with FSU. He does like Blue Adams. I think he likes the idea of playing corner here. I think them pairing him with Charles Lester on the visit was intelligent, because Lester had some of this deliberation in his own recruitment and obviously stuck with being a DB. But I think Cooper has an itch and he wants to scratch, and that itch is playing wide receiver. And while FSU laid out a plan of, well, if it doesn't work at DB, we can move you. If you excel at DB, there's obviously a possibility of packages on the other side of the ball. That's all well and good. But if the idea is I want to play wide receiver, I don't think FSU ultimately is the place that he opts for.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to touch on. Asked him about who was his player host. Talked about Charles Lester, which kudos. I think a really big one where he's on the defensive side of the ball, came in as an offensive target. And also, you want to talk about in this day and age of recruiting, not only the financial element, but maybe, I mean, across the board, across the country, talking to multiple staffs, multiple prospects of not necessarily false promises, but saying things that might not fully come to fruition on how many you're taking in a class, a role once you get to campus, kind of say whatever and then get them here, because, you know, it always sounds well and good to, hey, we're going to start your own special teams and then defensive side of the ball. And if that goes really well, then we'll build in some offensive packages. And, you know, Norvell's offense kind of, I think you could find different runways for that. But outside of a Travis Hunter, who has really been able to do that at a high level? So it sounds well and good, but I just don't know how many of those will come to fruition. If he wants to play wide receiver, I feel, and Tennessee has interest, I think, you know, that would be hard to beat, to Chris's point.
He did also visit Oklahoma State. From what I understand, I don't know the financials of the Oklahoma State situation, but from what I understand of FSU versus Tennessee in that regard, it's relatively comparable. So in that case, I think it comes down to what he wants.
Very cool. So let's get into a couple of the up in the air, the TBDs of it all. Let's go with Sean Green first off. He is a 90-grade wide receiver from Camden County. He spoke honestly really, really transparently when I talked to him this past week about what he wanted out of the FSU visit. He said, I want to see how I look in the garnet and gold. He's like, I want to see if the price is right, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but that was more or less it. He leaves the visit without having publicly committed. It didn't sound like he was ready to shut it down either. But actually, he said he wasn't ready. He was still planning on taking the Virginia visit when he was asked about that after his OV. So this is a guy who's visited Georgia. He's visited Florida State. He's got Virginia left. And that seems to be it, with a late June, early July commitment coming. He hasn't set the exact date yet, but that's what he's looking at. So what do we make of it, fellas? Where do we think Florida State stands on this? It doesn't sound like they shut things down. I got some analysis I'll throw in there if we don't fill in the blanks here. But, yeah, where do things stand right now?
I think there's confidence in the building that they get him. But Georgia's also not waving the white flag and saying they're not getting him, from what I understand. I still think it's between those two, though. Like, Virginia's just in the picture. But it's been FSU-Georgia dating back to January.
I would agree with that. I know Virginia's on the docket, but it, per everything that and just talking to people, I think Florida State and Georgia, and I think you had a great visit here, but, you know, like you said, late June, early July decision. I think Florida State sits well, but definitely still some cards to play out.
Yeah, I don't think Virginia's the – if that's a negotiating chip, I don't think it offers quite that much. Like, say, my understanding is, like, their NIL isn't nuts right now. I thought maybe it was going to be a year or two ago. And I think they really like the idea of spending on transfers.
Transfers, yeah.
So, yeah. I would imagine that Sean Green is not going to be cheap. That's a blue chip wide receiver. So just, you know, and FSU's shown a propensity to spend on wide receivers, right? I think they have a pretty good amount already vested in their current wide receiver room between retention and Deuce Robinson, Mekhi Dansey, additions with Jason Lopez and Devin Carter. So FSU's shown that they'll spend on that position. That's what they value. And that's been the case under the last regime of the front office. We'll see with this one too. But it does seem like that's still in play. I do think Florida State is optimistic. Stop it! I do think Florida State is optimistic that it can get the things done before he takes the visit to Virginia. I think that exists. So,
Sean Green's the highest ranked offensive prospect that FSU is set to host on an official visit.
He's a 90 grade?
Yeah. But I'm saying from a top 247 perspective, he is a top 247 recruit. Yeah.
Isn't Abraham
offensive?
Did you say – oh, offensive, my bad.
I may have not included that word, but that's what I meant by that comment. I apologize.
Apologize. Yeah, guys, it's – well, that's a whole other story. But
I'm just saying it should be a priority. Like, he's a good player. They like him. They've liked him for a good while. Priority.
Yeah, I don't know how much wide receiver, a non-big wide receiver is a priority for them. I think they'll get him. So ultimately, I think we're parsing hairs here. I think they'll ultimately get him. That's where if I had to put in a crystal ball right now, it'd be for Florida State. But I'm not putting in a crystal ball. I did put in a crystal ball, however, for Chris's boy, Marquise Fennell at Valdosta, the athlete. He's a running back. I spent most of his time with Cam Martin, but he also does a lot of slot wide receiver stuff as well. You know Mike Norvell loves a wheel route and someone who can do a little bit of everything on offense. That seems what Marquise Fennell's game is. I did put a crystal ball in for him, Chris. So does that make you happy? Are you buying or Sinoning that element?
I'm a fan of his game. I think he's a really, really good player. I think in the current scheme, what FSU does with a player like that, I think he would excel. I also think he's criminally underrated. I actually told him that yesterday. He came with Shelton Felton, his head coach, came with a bunch of family. You know, he's been here a lot. He's really invested time with FSU, and FSU's invested a lot of time with him. All dating back to January 20th when Mike Norvell went by the school and offered him ever since, and multiple visits by him, FSU checking it up on him, all of those things. I just, like, if Jaden Miles is going to be your primary back or Dalen Gordon, but I think Jaden Miles is more likely of those two right now, I think that Fennell is a great guy to pair with him. And I don't view him solely as a running back. I view him as an offensive athlete. He can do a variety of things. He fits into the Lawrence Toe of Philly, Jalen Lucas concept that FSU's had over the years. Yeah, I'm a fan. I like South Georgia players that are competitive, tough kids, and he is that. I do think FSU is going to get him. He currently is expected to officially visit Georgia Tech next weekend. He's also sticking to his announcement date because he intends to announce with a teammate at an event up near their school at Big Nick's.
Big Nick's, yeah.
I made Fire Sinone.
Brought to you by the Turner Group.
Fire Sinone. Brendan Sinone going to be in attendance for that.
Bye. It's somewhere between a hard buy and a strong buy. Yeah, somewhere in there. Very likely. I would say 95.
No, I put my crystal ball in that you'll be there.
I think so too. I've already reached out to a few people to get an idea of what's on the menu at Big Nick's and what I should be getting there too. Because I will. Chris knows I'm a fat kid at heart. I will throw down.
So. Unless he's on an intermittent fast.
Or just a full 24-hour fast. Kobe learned how cranky I can get on Saturday.
He was so weak he had to eat his pizza with a fork.
It was
just crazy. Honestly, but
no, all right.
Maybe I got to warm up to like this Florida thing.
I don't know. I don't want that out there. That's a general thing for me. I've taken it out of the oven because you throw. So what we do is we have a pizza stone, right, where you make your pizza on. But it's also really good for heating up pizza. You throw it on there, 400 degrees, 5 minutes, gets it nice and crispy. I just took it out on there and I just put the fork on the plate in case it was so hot because I wanted to devour it. It was 5 p.m. I'd hit it and it was like I wanted to be able to break it up if I had to. I didn't. It was all, I ate it all with my hands. I just, it was there. It was utensil if I needed it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm not cutting it with the fork and knife. No, no. So I just don't want it out there. I don't want it out there that I eat my pizza with a fork.
Told you.
Don't put that on me.
Don't you do that. I don't know, man. Maybe change my perception of you, but maybe I'm a lesser man for that.
All right. what else? Oh, there's one more name. One more name. Oh, we talked about it a little bit, but Jason Lewis from Kissimmee, Florida. My former kind of close to stomping grounds. This one county over, but very close to the county. Anyways, we don't need to go there. Defense alignment. I think he makes a lot of sense for this scheme. Like, I don't know. What's his grade? Do you guys have that offhand?
I believe he's an 88.
He is an 88. He's considered number 63 player at his position.
Yeah, I just think of the things they value in defense alignment. I think it's a good fit. So it makes sense. And I don't have a crystal ball in there, but maybe I'll throw one in. Maybe I'll do a show crystal ball because I've heard some good things there. Should I do a show crystal ball, guys?
Yeah, sure. I'm retired from that world. Colby gets to carry the banner, but if I was still doing it, he would have a crystal ball from FSU. And truthfully, I think I would have put one in there after the second spring visit.
Oh, he already has two FSU predictions. And Colby has one.
Wow. Yeah, I was about to say, I tossed one in on Friday after his arrival. I know Zach, rest in peace, even though he's still here, but not here currently.
Oh, yeah.
I know he's had one in since, I believe, the second spring visit that Chris was referencing. I tossed one in on Friday after hearing some really good things, and I feel, I don't want to say vindicated, but even better about that prediction now coming out of the weekend. I know he's visiting Syracuse this weekend. He canceled Kentucky for the June 19th weekend. The biggest factor here is still Syracuse. I think Florida State has done a really, really, really great job after this visit. Sits in a good spot and has a great relationship with Terrence Knight and the entire staff, honestly. You can just see it, and it was a very productive weekend. I feel really good about the pick. Now, you have to survive Syracuse. You know, Fran Brown is relentless in some of these visits and his approach, but I think Florida State is in a really good spot. A Sunshine State guy that's from, you know, overall not that far away. When you talk about upstate New York, grew up a fan and – had really positive remarks. So I feel good there. And I think, like you said, what they want to do defensively, he fits that scheme. A good prospect to take along with, you know, they got Volks last weekend. I think this is a really good one that they made good strides with coming out of the weekend.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Yeah, I think he gave a strong indication to him that his intention is to be at Florida State, but he's going to allow it to play out to his announcement date, and he made that abundantly clear when he walked out of building yesterday.
All right, so that's this week. A few dominoes still to fall potentially, but like you're saying, okay, there's probably 3 to 4 commitments out of this one. Sean Green's still the big one, but you got some. All right, so now you see what and I think you trade a linebacker for a linebacker. You're probably at peace with that if Greg Batson ends up leaving the class. The Fred Ford thing I thought was not great, but ultimately, like, if you can find a good edge in this class, then you find a good edge in this class. And, you know, they're banking, I think, decently on Chicken Guerrero for next week. But I do have a little intel there as we transition into next week. And that's, fellas, that I think he'll end up making his decision before he gets to Florida State. He just came off of a Texas official visit. They're trending right now. I know Auburn's still kind of in the mix there. I think it's one of those two. And I don't know that he ends up making it out of this week to get to Florida State. So as we get into next week, we look at the group, and Chicken is number 2 on there. It's a really good, like, this is by far the best official visit week in terms of top end talent. Number 1 is Tashawn Poole, safety out of Macon, Georgia. And he's really talented, and he's someone who's, I think, ascending when you look at just some of the interest he's gotten. Miami's jumped into the picture, and they have an official visit set for him now. The week after Florida State, which I think should make you a little uneasy. Miami's made a hard push here.
A little?
Yeah, very uneasy. Florida State's done a good job here. Like they've given themselves a puncher's chance. I honestly thought, you know, a few weeks ago that they were trending to maybe surprise Tennessee there. And Tennessee's been a long-term projected number one. Clemson's, he's already official visit. MS is a really good rangy safety with the ability to play in the box as well. And I think this is probably like someone you're looking at as like a future rover for you and potentially like a day one starter. Like he has that type of skill set. But yeah, Miami's had to get back into things. They had some changing of the guard in the secondary this past year with the coaching staff, and Miami's in it now. And so we'll see. I don't get the feeling this is a recruitment that will be shut down. Like he's going to take all his official visits. They've been pretty adamant about that. And
Poole is the best potential defensive get for FSU. Abraham Sesse is ranked ahead of him. That's a long shot. Probably not going to happen. Poole is a guy they can actually get. They've done a good job with. It's been FSU or Tennessee really since the spring. Miami jumping in there is concerning. Clemson also kind of jumped in there. The fact he survived the OV to Clemson and did not commit, which is sort of what Clemson's MO is a good sign. That's the guy that FSU can get who can sort of be the guy they got in their defensive class as we exit the summer months, more than likely.
Yeah, after you lose a Makai Williams. Yeah. I know Greg Batson's still in the class, right? But you talk about a linebacker for a linebacker. You hate to kind of do these transactions, but, you know, you lose Makai Williams. If you were to pick up a Tashaun Poole, it really kind of dampens the sting of that decommitment. And I think a really quality prospect. Now, to Chris's point, it does make me very uneasy, right, that he's going to Miami the following weekend. But leaving Clemson uncommitted I thought was really big. Brendan's done a great job kind of paper trailing and noting where he's at. So I think we'll get a clearer picture after this visit. But Florida State's done, I think, a decent job here down the stretch.
Number four ranked safety in the class.
Hey, are you guys on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
No.
Kobe, do you ever just like to sometimes look to see, like, just who's looked at your profile?
I don't have premium.
I just get alerts. I don't think I have premium either.
I get alerts, but it's like, get premium to see who looked at your profile.
You appeared in six searches this week. One of them, guys, is 24/7 Sports. I'm just saying. I think that's good news or really bad news. I don't know which.
I don't.
You might. Meyer Sinone, good news or bad news?
Sinone, because I think you're reading it wrong. And someone like who worked at 24. I think that's how they do it. If you don't have premium, it's like someone who works at 24/7 Sports. Look, oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you
might have just been me, and now you just exposed me stalking you.
Oh, you're like, who's this pizza guy, this fork guy? All right. Anyways, the other one I wanted to talk to because and you have 11 official visitors currently on the docket right now. I think that's, you know, again, I think Garrard's probably not going to end up happening. But you got Sam Lejeune is the other big one. I think he's got a 90 grade, and he's a badass. Like he's out of Mississippi. I love him. His film is a lot of fun. I think, Chris, this is his last official visit, so yeah, maybe a chance to end it with a good impression there. And, yeah, that's a big one.
He was at Cal this past weekend. He's supposed to drop into Washington before making his way to Tallahassee. He started out the month with Auburn. Those are kind of the main four he's focusing on at this point in it all. He's a high-level power lifter. Yeah, it is, but that kind of fits Sam. Sam's got a interesting personality. I mean that in the nicest way. I love the kid. Love talking to him. Love the fact that he'll just sort of say exactly what he's thinking about things. High-level power lifter, violent football player, athletic big body kid. I love the skill set. He's been a long-term target for FSU. He would be, in my opinion, other than pull their best get. And you got to get a dude in the trenches who's an animal. And to me, Sam is that kind of dude. Like, I like Eric Vall. I like the idea of Jason Lewis. They need to add an edge in that group, too. But Sam is a guy who I think can be a major difference maker on the interior. I think he would be one of their better interior gets in the last several years.
Do we think there's any relation to the Camp Lejeune?
No clue.
Okay.
I would argue in your comment of Sam being made the most important. Dejon Yarborough is pretty damn important. They really haven't had any O-linemen on campus. So, like, and he's more an interior guy, but he can get away with being a tackle, especially what Herb Hand will do with tackle sometimes. Like, I think he's a guy that could live at right if he had to, but he's probably a better interior guy long-term. Yarborough, to me, is a pretty important one. He is the best O-lineman they currently have on the docket to get on campus. They have a shot. He's been here. He took a multi-day unofficial visit earlier in the process that led to setting up this official visit. He does live in Arizona, but he is not from Arizona. If I recall correctly, he's actually came from Minnesota before Arizona. So he's kind of open to wherever, whatever. Cal's in there. He was there this past weekend. He's supposed to go to Washington after FSU. He started.
He's got like the same. He's got the same overlap as Sam Lejeune almost. Other than
is where he started out a month ago. Yeah. With Dejon, the agent there, somebody FSU has done past business with, is familiar with. So that's always kind of, you know, easier just in the sense of, you know, who you're dealing with and whatnot. You got a feel for the person you're dealing with. I just think he's pretty damn important for them because they got to at some point add a couple high school offensive linemen. I know they don't want to overinvest in that department. They've kind of turned into a portal pursuit department as far as O-line for the most part, as far as what they put on the field. But I think it's worth getting a couple that you might be able to develop. And I think, to me, Yarborough is probably one of those guys because he does have inside-outside versatility for you. I think he can be a pretty damn good interior lineman too.
I think it's key. And, you know, I was getting trolled on the boards, maybe for, you know, being a homer or just talking about what I've seen. But just the last place I was at, Virginia Tech, they took 5 high school offensive linemen over 2 cycles. And to see the trickle-down effect of what that had on the field production, it was pretty devastating, I would say, for on field. And to see that, you know, Florida State has 3 offensive linemen currently scheduled for official visits. I know it's Jonathan Toney for the last weekend who camped at the Seminole Showcase. Jacob Burns, who we're trying to get a clear picture on, he was at Virginia Tech. Believe he was off this weekend. Has Florida State, potentially some other schools in the mix, hard to get a read there. Does not sound like Virginia Tech might get full before they can take him. So he could be another one. But to have 3 guys, and I know Herb Hand and trying to talk to people and establish and see how, you know, they recruit the position here, they like to go through the transfer route. But I would say that you're going to pay a much bigger premium because you are paying for these prospects there. And, you know, it's a lot harder I think it's just way easier to develop through the high school ranks. Now, that's why I'm not getting paid to be an offensive line coach. But to bring in 3 guys, I would definitely circle Yarborough, potentially a Jacob Burns this week. And maybe they get the Swedish guy from camp yesterday. What was his? Whatever.
You're talking about Oscar?
Yes, Oscar. Go check out Knowles247.com. Have a full camp recap there.
It's basically Colby's covering the United Nations with the camp recap. A lot of Euro flavor yesterday.
But outside of that, I would definitely circle the offensive line targets because you got to get at least one. And I don't even know if one is enough. But I would say when you look at the overall class and the picture, when you write the story of the 2026 or 2027 class, excuse me, I think you're going to have some offensive linemen mixed in there. So I think a big weekend for that.
Yeah, on the topic of upcoming visits and sorting through that list as this week persists and figuring out who is coming and any additions, any subtractions, as well as like the camp coverage from yesterday, FSU had an individual camp on Sunday afternoon. I don't know, ballpark of probably 300 or so kids there. They handed out 6 new offers, had a few international kids that they like. All of that stuff, you can check it out. VIP pass right now, 60% off annually. That's $467 a month if you sign up for Knowles 247 right now. Great time to do so. I'll hand it back to you, Brendan.
That was well done, Chris. I like that you broke it down to $467 a month.
You're welcome, buddy.
Oh, my God. I want to – no. Never mind. All right.
Do it. What?
No, I got to get it set up. Dude, I want to get a photo out there of your redaction from the other day. I'm not going into too much detail. It's the craziest thing Chris has ever done. So not do it now. All right, funny how that changed real fast. This is the funniest. Can I share the story at least?
You want to. You're itching
to. I do want to. I just want to make – how mad will you be at me at a scale 1 to 10? If it's below 5, then I'll do it. If it's more than 5, I'm not doing it.
Just do it.
All right. So this will transition us into the final conversation, which will be the Issa Torres, who, if you're like me and you don't pay attention to softball year round, the best player in the country. At a very
positional player, yes.
Yeah. At a very proud and traditionally strong and consistent program. Like FSU softball is outside of the three like revenue sports, it's probably like number one or two, right up there with soccer. It is just a fun, well done, consistent, great product. You go to the games, like it's good vibes there. So anyways, there's a lot here that we're going to dissect, but Issa Torres is number one, like player in the country. Chris mentioned generational prospect. She's awesome infielder. And so there's been rumors circulating for like a month plus on this, and I don't know like the legitimacy of it, but now the transfer portal has opened in softball, and I got a text on Friday night, sometime over the weekend.
Weekends run together.
Yeah, I mean, the days are running together too this time of year. But I got a text saying, hey, this could be real in this time. And so and that's not really my beat. So I sent it to Chris. Chris went to check with the source on it. And he sent a screenshot back of just like, this is what I got. And back amongst our work texts. Like, okay, cool. And then I see that he had sent a screenshot of our initial conversation, and Zach was involved in this too, because we were talking about some recruiting stuff as well. And I see that our names were blacked out, which I appreciated. And then I looked a little closer, and I saw they were just kind of transparently blacked out, and you could actually copy and paste them. That was the laziest attempt to redact I've ever seen. There's been some lazy redaction.
Yeah, I was trying to say.
On topic here. It was hilarious, and I'm glad Colby got to see just the this is a man who can throw out $4.67 off the top of his head but cannot properly redact something. Chris,
I should have let it go, but I saw it.
Yeah.
Actually, and I got crap whenever we were sitting outside the facility from even the Knee family, because I was like, oh, I saw it when I was in the shower, because like I said, I had the phone there. Look,
may have told him as a father that he has a problem taking his phone in the shower.
All of a sudden, the pizza board's not so weird.
I'm not going to let Chris take all the arrows here. You know, I'm going to take some. But, look, I'm saying if Airbnb, I don't care if there's a little water that gets on the floor. I'm going to have my phone there so I can see. It's official visit season. You never know who's going to text you. So I see that, and instantly I'm like, oh, okay. And then I click on it, and I'm like, okay, do I let this slide? New guy trying to cut a guy a break.
Oh, so you saw right away that it was clear.
Well, I think my response was I didn't even nothing relevant to the context of the text or anything. I think I just said redacted, and that was what got Brendan in. And rest in peace, Zach. Also,
Zach. Go ahead, Chris. Explain yourself.
Oh, I did a poor job redacting it. I also did it. I did it in a rush. Like
the truth
is the person involved that I sent it to, like, it's not going to be an issue. Did it so if it became like a chain of sharing that it, yeah, I was trying to help my boys out, but whatever. If they got to take a bullet, they'll take a bullet for me.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was probably one of the highlights of my week. So
I got to see if I can find it. All right. This is so good.
So on the Issa situation,
yeah, let's actually talk about it.
I mean, there was an effort last offseason for schools to try to attract her into the portal and away from FSU. This isn't some new rodeo we're dealing with, but we are definitely dealing with it this time. I think there is more concern today, Monday, than there's probably ever been that it may actually happen, that she may enter the portal. Not that she has, but she could. Why? Well, money obviously is part of this situation. Not that FSU is not trying to financially keep her. I think there's a great deal of effort being put into that, and FSU trying to do their best to retain her services for her fourth year at FSU. But there are schools in that sport that are able to outspend pretty much everybody else outside of a very select few. And two of them happen to be in her home state of Texas. You know, everybody likes to point at Texas Tech, and yeah, they're probably certainly interested in Issa's services if they can get it. But I also think Texas is in play here. I think Texas is honestly probably a bigger concern right now with this one. So do I think she does it? I mean, I had somebody last evening tell me, yeah, they think she does, which was obviously disappointing to hear. But All that being said, I know as of this morning, there are still conversations between her and FSU and trying to resolve it and hopefully retaining her. And I think Issa has an interest in staying at FSU. I think she understands, one, that she means a lot to the program. Two, she has a legacy that she's built here by being an incredible player for 3 years, a consistent starter for 3 years. This past season, arguably the best position player in the sport, D1 softball's player of the year this past year, also an incredible fielder who had no errors during the regular season this past year. All those things matter. She understands that. I think she knows that she's incredibly wanted at FSU. FSU has done a lot throughout her career to try to continue to reinforce that point, but it is a business at the end of the day. I think there's championship aspirations there. And as much as FSU is a highly competitive softball program that has hoisted a trophy in the last decade, in the last couple of years, they've fallen a step short of getting to where you have a chance to do that. And I think some of the programs that are interested in her have obviously proven they can do that. I think that's a slight difference there. And there are other factors as well, some of which have not yet been explained to me. I'm actually, after this pod, going to have some more conversations regarding this subject. So hopefully I have a little bit more. And if it's something I can share, I will share. But yeah, I'm certainly on watch. I mean, it's a situation where there's a pre-write done for me. If it does in fact happen, I'm not hoping it does. I would much prefer FSU to retain her. We've already seen them lose a high-level multi-year starter in Jasoni Beauchamp, who jumped into the portal or said she was definitely going to jump into the portal, and I don't feel like she was being wishy-washy on it. I feel like that decision had been made. So we shall see. Again, not a certainty, but I would put the percentage possibility of it at the highest it's ever been in her time at FSU.
I'm not going to get into the – I'm not going to analyze the softball part of it. That's not what I'm going to be good at doing. It does sound to me like for both of them, for both Beauchamp and Torres, like it's going to be, people are going to say money, right? Outside looking in. And that's certainly
money is always part of the situation.
Yeah. But that's not always part of it, Chris, going back full pit. It's not always 100%. In this case, I think being able to be part of a roster that's going to not just compete, but like, really compete for a national championship is factoring into both of their decisions. And I don't know, again, enough about softball. FSU got bounced earlier than expected this past year. They also had a relatively young team, and it's one that's supposed to, if I'm, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but ascend, right? Like,
The expectation is you have a chance to return a vast majority of the players that contributed to you being a very good team that got a regional hose this past year and did fall short in that regard. That you're supposed to return that. And obviously the expectation is that some of those freshmen, you played several freshmen this year, are going to ascend. And also like someone like Marin Heller didn't play down the stretch because of the facial injury, that you get her back. And that's a big piece. So yeah, the expectation is that they are capable of taking a next step and being pretty exceptionally good next year. All that being said, you know, Beauchamp, I've heard Alabama attached. With Torres, I've heard Texas and Texas A&M attached. I'm sorry, Texas Tech, not A&M. Obviously, those three programs have had higher levels of success than FSU in the last couple recent years, which is wild. Like, there's not a lot of schools in that category, but those are the kind of schools that are candidates potentially for these players.
And so from my perspective, it seems like you're talking about a tier system here, right? And there's an S tier, and FSU softball might be an A tier right now, right? And that's not a knock, but that's the perception.
Yeah.
And that then takes us to where I want to go with the conversation is, and I know you hate this, Chris, when I take it in a microcosm and turn it into a macrocosm, but like, it's unavoidable. We're talking about it. And I think it exists at this point is because there are people talking about that. Like, this is a thing that not just fans, like there's important people who are talking about like this. If you end up losing Issa Torres and softball does not retain, it's arguably its two best players. There's a lot of, you know, I guess, old money, deep-pocketed longtime boosters who love softball. It's a part of the fan base that, again, outside of, you know, the three rev sports, generally, like there's always, when I say three rev, football is always a revenue generator. Baseball is usually, at most programs, goes even more or less. I think for Florida State, it's usually in the black, and then basketball, men's basketball. And so outside of those three, softball is right up there, and it's beloved. And so I just get this feeling, and to, some of it for me, honestly, is like, welcome to the party, everyone. Like, this is stuff we've been like banging our heads on. And honestly, I feel like taking, you know, bullets on for a while of like, yeah, this is FSU's falling behind, and it's not just a financial thing. That's a big part of it. It's also just a perception thing too. And FSU's falling behind potentially as a full athletic department is what it feels like. Like, if you, it's one thing to be like, football's not right right now, and you're just buying your time on that. You're trying to make, you know, tweaks on the fly to see if you can salvage this hemorrhaging thing. But if you're telling me softball isn't right, I think that ends up pissing off a lot of people. And that's kind of what I think we're feeling here in the dog days of summer, is it feels kind of powder kegish to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think if she were to leave, if she were to follow through and go in the portal, I think it would be a really tough moment for a lot of people to swallow and accept wholeheartedly. And I think it goes back to, does FSU invest in softball? Yes, they do. They spend a lot of money on softball, a lot more than a lot of other schools. But there are some and a select few that are willing to spend more. And those schools, some of them very well documented, Texas Tech, you know, everybody hates Texas Tech because Texas Tech tampers and spends this money, and all these things that you hear and the hand banging of it. But like, they're not the only ones doing some of that stuff. And they're certainly not the only ones spending. The team that keeps playing them for national championships is spending a lot of money on softball, more than FSU. So yeah, is it, for lack of a better term, a tipping point? I think it would be. I think it would have a profound impact on the view that people have. And some of that's happened. Nia Latson leaving for South Carolina is an example of that, for now women's sport and basketball. You know, we're about to undergo an entire baseball sweep in the sense of flipping that roster from a positional standpoint while also needing to add several high-level arms. Like, that is a new order. But when it's the player who's sort of like, best way I can put this, in 10 years when FSU is looking to put people in their Hall of Fame, Issa Torres is someone that should be like a shoe-in, an easy thought. If she does not finish her career at FSU, that's a really weird feeling. And we didn't live that life just a few years ago of ever considering that, certainly for a sport like softball. But here we are. So, yeah, I think it would be one of those things that causes a lot of people to really, really wonder, like, what is FSU in the modern day and age of college athletics and the financial investment that it takes to be competitive and a good all-around program that FSU has attempted to be throughout, you know, recent history, the last couple decades.
I started looking up this past week, and I sent you guys some of the chart. I'm still trying to make sense of it. I've just been busy with the recruiting stuff, but like, there's a lot of downward trajectory on a national scale for Florida State athletics. And I think with the Director's Cup, when that comes out, it's probably not going to, it's going to reflect that this is that you were descending. And that's, to me, it's like the way you, that football, and part of this is just football not doing well, but decisions you've made and being behind on having infrastructure to get third-party vendors in here. And I think Florida State's infrastructure is getting there. I do. Like, they've made strides to it, but the talking points, the narrative around it, the just the slow delay when you were actually ahead of the curve with when NIL first started with football, and now you're behind and trying to get a lot of this done, or you're just starting to it, to me, that's damning. That's really hard to understand and to rationalize. And I've gathered a lot of, and reporting in the last month or so, there's just a lot of finger pointing right now. And if we're talking about, I'm beyond softball, I'm talking about football up to athletic department, up to university, everything under like the umbrella of like of FSU athletics as well, and everything touching it above and below. It just, there's deep concern, and whether like it's how viable it is to compete at the national level with how it, you know, it to be, it's been a program that has forever taken pride in being good at a lot of things and great at a lot of things. I shouldn't just say good, great at a lot of sports and elite in a few. And it's taken pride in that. And just, that's not happening now. And it's not a 1 year one-off. It's a trend. And I think that's something that you have to, again, have continuity from top to bottom, have real conversations about as a university, as an athletic department, as a board, like, are you, this is beyond football. Football is a microcosm for it, but it's beyond football. It's whether you're in full alignment to be elite in athletics. And if you're not, that's not your identity, but you have to figure that out. Cause I feel like it's an identity crisis right now. I'll share, and I'm going to do reporting on this, fellas. I've never seen the report from, Chris, help me out here. What was the report that they did?
You're talking about the athlete group?
The Turner group. Thank you. My brain. All right. So the athlete group, I've never seen the actual report, and that was football brought them in to do basically, or the athletic program brought them in to do a look at the football program and say, yeah, what can we do to fix this? Where does it need to be done? And I talked to someone who's looked at it before, and they said, like, one of the number one things was there was a questioning whether the entire athletic department and university was in full alignment with the football program. It was like, basically, do the heads of each department, does the head coach, does the athletic director, does the school president, are they all in alignment? And the answer to that written down was no. It's like, there is not a full plan of like how they're going to make it maximize every single day. And I'm very confident in that, without actually seeing it with my own two eyes, I'm very confident, because I've gotten that from multiple sources at this point. And so that doesn't necessarily make it true, right? That's just one person's opinion. That person, you paid the money to give you their opinion, and they do this for a living. But I think we're seeing that also kind of play out. And subsequent reporting has made me only further reaffirm it's like that it's not very much so in alignment right now. So I know I've rambled on it, but I think it's probably the most important thing we could be talking about right now here in the summertime. And it's beyond just football. I know that's what we spend a lot of time on, but it's beyond that at this point.
Yeah. With the financials of it all, there's so much nuance. I know everybody loves to say they're cheap or broke, and there's an element of, like, you know, obviously they're not the biggest spender in the room, but like, they spend a lot of money on softball. They spend money on soccer. They're invested in baseball this year, and Brett can chime in on that if you'd like, from what I understand, for what they're about to have to do from the portal. So, like, it's not like they don't spend money. It's just a matter of, like, they're not – everybody's picking on somebody in this day and age. Yeah, you know, really good players at lower level schools are going to end up at bigger schools. That's just the natural order of it now. Well, FSC is being picked on, and that's a tough pill to swallow. And when it's potentially somebody of the caliber of Issa Torres, I think it really, really drives it home a lot. And hopefully it doesn't happen, and all of this was a waste of time to talk about. But is it a possibility? Yeah, it's a real possibility.
I think even if it doesn't happen, and I think, I mean, obviously that's what we want, right? Is you don't want Florida State to lose Issa Torres. And maybe there's it'd be a wake up call. The fact that it's even gotten this close and you've felt pressure of like maybe angry donors or just the fan base. And you felt the pressure beyond just the scope of, it's not just football. It's not isolated to just this. Like, you have players internally or like wondering, hey, I'm part of this clubhouse. Can I win a championship here? And you have to then take a look at the mirror and figure that out. And you're being reactive, I think, if that ultimately happens. But maybe you can get to that best case scenario of figuring out, like, hey, we got to reallocate the way, you know, where the university puts its money. It's got to be reallocated into the athletic department. Or you just start realizing that you're in a new lot in life until you get into a new conference. And that's just the reality you're at. And maybe that's it. But I do think you're at the point where I think you're hitting a tipping point where you're going to have to make changes to how you do business, or it's going to be this kind of stuff more often. You've been relegated. We've seen that with football. It's now starting to bleed down to other sports, which, again, this is not a surprise, but it is happening. Colby, welcome to Tallahassee, by the way. You jumped into it, sir.
Everyone keeps saying that to me, and I hate to keep going back, but like, I've seen elite dysfunction at a very high level. it's nothing new or shocking or like draining when obviously you feel for the fans, right? Like, it is absolutely disheartening. Now, does anyone want to be here? No, but like, there's obviously a trail of pretty clear missteps that have led you here, and now it's an evolving landscape that no one's ever dealt before, but there are some people that are certainly navigating it a whole lot better. And I thought that was really interesting. I hadn't even heard that from the Turner group. No, I mean the athlete group, where it's like a line.
My brain could not get to just have the Turner group over and over. And I also couldn't what's the word when you bring in someone to get the consultant?
Oh, consultant. Yeah. Consultant firm. But there, Northern Virginia. But, you can go back and find probably me saying a billion times alignment, alignment, alignment last September, October, November, into up until I left, because that is the word of the decade for college football, alignment. And I think pretty clearly you can see some cracks in that foundation.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It exists right now. And you know, maybe people will publicly push back on me saying that. That's fine. Like I'm comfortable with the reporting at this point. I know what I'm living every day. And so it is, and it's either going to get better or it isn't. It's just, look, fellas, like, I don't know what else to say. Like, it's just, it just needs to get tighter, or this kind of stuff's going to become the norm. And I think a lot of FSU fans will find that unacceptable. All right, but hey, we got Albright, so that's good. That was taking a full circle here. I'm gonna keep a bright perspective.
Hey, $4.67 a month. About to go drop some content probably on him. What you're getting in him as a player? Got the quarterback camp today. Gonna have some stuff from that. Some summer intel. So we're gonna have a ton of stuff over there on Knowles 24/7. So I know the end was a little doom and gloom, but guess what? You got a ray of sunshine. Who just the doomiest and gloomiest. So
that's a good
24/7. We will prevail. We will prevail.
Colby Crawford sticking the landing. For Colby, for Chris Nee, I'm Brennan Sinone. We'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.